doing the Yaakov and Brachos, Daf Samach, page Sadi Hey on the base in the regular in Yaakov editions, page 190. Tanu Avanan, Maseh Bilel HaZaken, Shaya Baba Derech. The following story is about Hillel the Elder. What do we know about Hillel the Elder? Hillel HaZaken. So let's see. He was Nasi, he was the leader of the Jewish people, 100 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. He was a descendant of King David. What else do we know about Hillel? Hillel was very modest. He was very humble. He was very patient. And he had tremendous faith in Hashem. Hillel used to say, I am confident that on Friday I will be able to buy exactly what I need for Shabbos. And the marketplaces in Hillel's day were not like today. You didn't always find in the market what you needed. You didn't always find fish, you didn't always find meat. But Hillel had tremendous bitachon, which fit his level. For someone else, it might be ridiculous to say that. For him, it fit his way of life. What else do we know about Hillel? We know that Hillel had tremendous students, right? His top student was Yonasan ben Uziel, that when he'd learn Torah, any bird flying over his head would get burnt. He had students that were fit to receive the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu. Those were his students. What else do we know about Hillel? Hillel had his smallest student was who? Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, who knew all of the Torah. He was the great leader who led us after the destruction of the Second Temple. So the following story is told about Hillel the Elder. He came from Babylon. Hillel learned by Shmaya and Avtalion out in Babylon. He spent years learning by them in dire poverty. And then he came to Israel. So when he came to Israel, they saw he knew more than everyone else did, so they appointed him chief rabbi. Maseh Bilel HaZaken, the following story with Hillel the Elder. Shaya Baba Derech, he was traveling. V'shama kol tzmacha bayir. He heard a wail go up from the city. V'amar, and he said, Muvtach ani she'en ze betoch beiti. I'm confident that wail wasn't from my house. Now, this is coming off of the Mishnah, which said that a prayer has to be a reasonable prayer. You can't pray a pointless prayer, meaning if someone hears a wail in the city, he can't pray, God, let it not have been my house. Too late, either it was or it wasn't. So the Bryce over here tells us that Hillel could say, I'm confident it wasn't from my house. About him, the verse says, he doesn't have to worry about bad news because he has faith in Hashem. So the Anaf Yosef over here in the commentary says already, many have wailed about this Gemara, and they asked, how could Hillel say such a thing? It seems like he's being proud, like he's confident in all his merits, and that he has so many merits that he's confident that nothing bad would happen in his house, and that doesn't seem to fit the humility of Hillel the Elder. So he quotes the following explanations. He quotes, one explanation is that he taught the people in his house that they should be patient like himself. That just like Hillel, whenever anything happened, he'd accept it with patience. So too his family knew to accept things with patience. And that's why he was confident it wasn't in his house. Because he knew that whatever happened, he wasn't saying, I'm sure only good things happen in my house. He meant to say, I know that whatever happens in my house, they don't go wailing to the point where you hear it outside the city. That's not the way my family behaves. Whatever happened, I'm confident they wouldn't be wailing like that. So that's one understanding. And he says, another understanding is that a person's heart can be like a prophet. A person can know whether something good or bad is happening, and I don't know if we'd call it a premonition, or he seems to say it's any person's heart, and this fits with the idea that people do have premonitions. We saw it in different instances. We saw it in the Medrash last night, that Sarah, even though she didn't know about the Akedah, she says to Yitzchak, who knows if I'll ever see you again? And we discussed it. And you see it. You see it. There are many times that people have premonitions, and so maybe that's what he means over here. Amar Rava, I would be careful not to bet on the stock market based on that. I had a friend who used to do that. Didn't do too well. I mean, he did well in the beginning when the market, when the whole market was going up. So yeah, then whatever you put your money in goes up. But I wouldn't live life based on that. You got to be careful. There has to be a certain respect for premonitions, and you got to think things over and analyze things, but at the same time use your intellect and think whether it makes sense or not. Amarava kol heichi de darash laikra mireisha de sefer midrash misefer lereisha midrash. Yes, Mike.
You're giving the shiur, but you always tell us your stories on the stock market, and they don't go very bad. It's hardly like what's the word? Shuring. It's like if you're following all the right thing, then how come you're not making the money? You're always losing money on the stock market.
Who said I'm losing? This was a guy I knew. I told you one story where I could have made 15 and instead it was at 8. I didn't tell you where it ended up. I didn't tell you the end of the story. I came to give the point.
But where did you get the money from the stock market? Not from your job, obviously, no?
Ah, so that's not for the class. We can discuss that.
That was more like a...
I'll tell you, Mike, you're very on the ball, as usual. There's a reason why...
I was thinking aloud rather than trying to cry. Should I think about
it? Most people, as far as I know, most people at the end lose in the stock market. Meaning, even if they have a point where they make, and I've seen many people, and I know people who made not 1 million, but hundreds of millions in the stock market, at the end of the day, they end up losing. It's like the people who go to Las Vegas. You know, they make $80 and then they lose $200. You know, people don't pull out as winners and they keep going. A lot of people never have any time that they're winners. And even the people who do keep going until they're losers and then they can't keep going. And then the question is, should they keep going? And is it not just like gambling? So there are a few people who can master the market enough to make it lucrative. But for most people, even if they have a winning spree, and even if they have a period that they're making, in the long run they don't. And that's been my experience, my short-lived, all of a decade and a half experience. You know, it's not that long. But I've read up a lot about it, and I've been following a lot, and that's my impression. So if my stories do tend to give the feeling that you could lose money in the stock market, that's simply for the reason that I think that anyone that enters the market is entering because they think they're going to win. So the thing they need to be reminded of, my job, is to remind them of how many people lose. So that's why the stories repeatedly have that vein. I don't think I will tell you a story about the successes of the stock market, because I don't think that would be educational, because I think that's the exception and not the rule. But the rule is that people that enter the stock market do think they will succeed.
Isn't the pertinent question also, how satisfied are the winners? In other words, how fulfilled is somebody's life even if they have $100 million? Is that person...
Right? You remind me, there was a guy who had $880 million, and when the stock market crashed, he went down to $100 million, and his family, I'm talking about now, this recent crash, and he was working to get to that million, to that billion, and he had, I'm telling you, he was close, he was at 880, and his family had to stand by him, to hold on to him, to make sure he doesn't commit suicide. From man. It's a good question. Back to our Gemara. Mereisha the Sefer Midrash Mishmoah Ha'lo Yira My Time I'm Shum De Nachon Libo Batoach Bashem. This is a pasuk which can be analyzed from the end to the beginning or from the beginning to the end. The end says we'll start from the beginning. It says he doesn't have to worry about bad news because he has confidence in Hashem. So why doesn't he have to worry about bad news? Because he has confidence in Hashem. Misefer Reisha Midrash, you could understand it the reverse. Nachon Libo Batoach Bashem Mishmoah Lo Yira. He who has confidence in Hashem, well, ultimately he doesn't have to worry about bad news. So here you always have the question, why did the Gemara have to tell you that? Right? Isn't that obvious? Okay. Onward. Hahu Talmida Dehave Shakil Vazila Batrid Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. There was a student who was following Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Beshuka de Tzion, in the marketplace of Tzion. Chazie de Kamafchid. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi saw the student, and he saw that the student was worried. So he sees his student walking behind him worried. Amale chata'at, dichtiv, pachadu v'tzion chata'im. He says to him, what are you worried about walking in this shuk? Have you sinned? The verse says, the sinners are worried in Zion. So if you're worried, is it because you have a sin? Amale v'aktiv, asher adam mefachet tamid. So the student asked, doesn't the verse say, praised is a person who's always worried? So isn't it okay that I'm worried? Amale yahu b'divrei Torah k'tiv. Says Rabbi, answered him. He said, no. That's talking about a person that's always worried to review what he's learned, so you shouldn't forget it. That's what it means. You should always be worried. You should always be worried that you could lose what you've learned. So review to make sure you didn't lose it. It doesn't mean you should worry your whole life. So if you're worried, then it's either because you have a sin or you got something wrong. You shouldn't be worried. Isn't that an interesting thought? So we're supposed to be cautious, we're supposed to do ishtadlut, but we're not supposed to spend our life in fear and worry. We're supposed to get up and do. Here you saw it. Yehuda bar Natan have shakil vazil batreid Rav Amnuna. Itnach. So Yehuda bar Natan was walking behind Rav Amnuna. And he sighed. Itnach. He sighed. Amale Yisurei Kabaya Ugavrila Tuya Nafshe. He asked him, are you interested in afflictions? Dichtiv Kifachat Pachati Vayeteini Vasher Goti Avoli. So he said to him, you're sighing, you're worrying. And the verse says in Job, I was worried, and that's what happened. I was scared, and that's what happened. So you see, if you worry, then you're sort of bringing the thing you're worried about to happen. If you're scared, then you're sort of inviting the thing you're scared of to happen. You see that from Job. So what are you sighing about? You see, the sages didn't approve of sighing. What are you? Get up and do something. Don't sit there scared and sighing. So he also said, but the verse says, praised is he who's always scared. So he answered him, he said to him the same answer. That's talking about being concerned that you'll lose what you've learned. It's not talking about spending your life concerned. This is a tremendous balance that we have to gain. Where should I be concerned? I should be concerned that I'll lose the spirituality I've accomplished. And even there, that's only to spur me on to review, to understand it better, to know it better. But the rest of life involves tackling issues. It doesn't involve spending my time worrying and fretting. No. You see, the sages clearly said, what are you worried about? If you worry, either it's because you've sinned, or you're setting the stage for the worry to come true. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, we won't worry, and we'll go up and daven Ma'ariv, b'simcha.